This recording,
Egypt
7, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Berry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in the deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and much more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. So, informal Arabic. Or I guess it's not really informal. It is just a specific dialect relating to certain cultures and countries and locations. So the Egyptian dialect has influences from Africa, has influences from West Africa, from Southern Africa, Sudan, for example, and then pharaonic language. So half of the words they're using, like we for a woman, we say sit. Wahda sit. That's not what a woman is in Arabic. But that's just it's something that comes from like a pharaonic, like an old pharaonic cultural influence. Egyptian Arabic is called Ammaya, and it is colloquial Arabic. It is the most understood dialect of Arabic in the world, and most spoken dialect of Arabic in the world. And Fusha pretty much is how anyone doing a political speech or in the newspaper or you know, legal jargon is always done in Fusha. And it's formal Arabic. It's relating to Sharia law, which comes from the Quran. So it's all based on these very, you know, traditional wording, basically formal wording. And so, yeah, I pretty much only speak Egyptian Arabic. I grew up all around here, so I didn't get formally educated in formal Arabic. And yeah, so I grew up my whole life here, and I was influenced by my father, who's full American and speaks Arabic fluently as well, and my mother and her family, which are all Egyptians and don't speak English very well. Alhamdulillah, salama from Masr, wa marhaba biki, marhaba biki from Masr, wa امبارح انا ركبت على تاكس مع تاكس سواق تاكس وهو كان مجنون السواق كان مجنون ماشي وركبنا من معادي لغايه الوسط البلد وفي الاخر وصلنا وايه دفعنا فلوس كتير. The first thing I said was الحمد لله السلام على مصر, basically like welcome to God that you made it. It's like a welcoming that you made it. So, alhamdulillah, as-salamu ala Masr. I said, ahlan, I said, marhaba biki. Meshi. So, like, hello to you. And hello, you know. And I said, lakibna tax. I rode a taxi to downtown, to West al-Balad. And the driver was crazy. And so, where can magnoon? At the end, by the end, and I paid a lot of money.